Welcome to the Collide Podcast. We're a growing community of everyday chicks colliding with Jesus in our mess, our pain, our joy, and our stories. We value showing up as we truly are, so that's what you'll find here. Walls and masks being torn down so that we can allow Jesus to meet us where we truly are and hear about other women doing the same. We can't wait to collide with you.
When you stop playing the wrestling game and you just sit and can enjoy your day today and know that God's going to give you another day tomorrow, it's enough and it's good. Welcome to the Collide Podcast. I'm Willow Weston, the founder and director of Collide, and today I'm super excited to be able to interview our newest staffer, Tanya Biersdorf, and she just hopped on staff with us, and this is one smarty pants. She has her master's in linguistics and exegesis, so basically she's a Bible translator, so she can run circles around me and all my friends. She's been married 8 years, has the cutest son named Luke, who's 4 years old. She loves drinking London fog tea, reading books, and going on adventures in the Pacific Northwest. And we are going to talk about transition today. And I know that so many of you are going through huge change in your life. And sometimes that can really be discouraging and hard, and you can feel lost, and you can feel hungry for a sense of home. And so today, Tanya and I get to have a conversation about finding gratitude in the midst of transition. So Tanya, thank you for hanging out.
I'm glad to be here.
And that we get to have this time together. Mm-hmm. It's fun. You just hopped on staff and now I have you in a small room and I'm grilling you with questions to share with other people.
I am armed with answers.
Armed with answers. Okay. Well, let's start with, can you invite us in and tell us about the last few years and all of the changes that you have experienced? I know that there's been many.
Yeah, that's the short answer.
Yeah.
I think maybe a good way to start is to say, we moved 6 times in 6 years.
Oh, wow.
And so we know transition in my family. And a lot of times I say we because so much of it has just felt like it's happened with Kyle, my husband. Mm-hmm. And so then I notice when I talk about it, I'm like, we. So the mysterious person is Kyle, my husband, in gotcha. My we. So yeah, we moved 6 times in 6 years. And kind of what happened is God put us on a roller coaster of, hey, you thought you had great plans for your life and you pushed forward with them, but actually I had different plans and you had a hard time letting go of your plans. So I kept bumping into you with transition. And you could say that Kyle and I were a little bit stubborn. I would probably have been the more stubborn person. And so basically we were just having a hard time with letting go of our hopes and dreams and a hard time believing God had good ones to replace it with. So we were living in Canada. I am Canadian. Kyle is American, and he was having a really hard time with being happy there. And we were having a really hard time with being married, with one person not being happy, mm-hmm. and just figuring out what do we do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so lots of doors opened and lots of doors closed, and we tried to get out of the country a couple times, and those doors slammed shut, and that was pretty hard.
Mm-hmm.
And then we decided, what did we do? We decided to get a green card. That's a 2-year process. And then finally, doors opened, and we moved to the United States.
Wow.
And now we live in Bellingham, Washington. The irony that you can really laugh about is that I don't know how many miles are we from Canada?
Not very many.
Not very, like, I don't know, 20, 30?
Yeah, I do kilometers.
Probably around 30. But it was a huge transition and it really changed our lives. And like, I can see Canada out of my kitchen window, but I'm in a new place. And I don't know, it was like a transition for our souls and our jobs and our networks and all of it.
That's a lot of change in 6 years. And I have so many questions I want to ask you, because you kind of talk about having a sense of discontentment or unhappiness
And have you heard the term holy discontentment?
Yes, a little bit.
I love the idea of it. And yes. I kind of wonder if, I don't think we can always see holy discontentment in the mm-hmm. moment, but it's almost this idea of we are discontent with where we're at. And it can come out not holy or not spiritual. Yes. I think it can come out, at least for me, in the past, it's come out with like, you know, kind of a, I'm having a negative attitude, or I'm unhappy with this, or unhappy with that, a job, or whatever it is. And sometimes it's because why it's called holy discontentment. It's almost like the Lord is getting ready to pick you up and plop you in a completely different place than you're currently in that you never choose to leave. And so you had to get to this place of almost being feeling unhappy. Like it doesn't quite fit. It's kind of like those kids, you have a kid, you know, the toy where they're jamming the hexagon into the triangle and it doesn't fit. But they keep just slamming it. I think holy discontentment is a little bit like that. I mean, you're talking about feeling unhappy and there's all these doors that closed. In those moments, my question to you is, could you see this could be God calling us elsewhere? Or did you feel like, no, we're discontent and unhappy and we don't know why? And did it kind of play out in festering in negative ways? I mean, what was your perspective in the moment?
Well, I would say probably part of the reason that it took 6 years is that we didn't jump onto that train right away.
Mm-hmm.
And we had a really hard time because we just kept transitioning and kept changing, and yet we kept being discontent.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not like someone died. There was a big tragedy. Like, there wasn't a big way to name what felt like it kept being wrong. And so that was really hard for us. And we kept thinking that we had to fix ourselves. Like, how can we fix this? And we had lots of friends and family and people who wanted to help fix us. And we kind of landed in this weird place of taking a break from fixing the problem and just resting in it and just letting it be a season of, this doesn't feel right. It's not moving forward. Are we okay to just sit in that and see what happens? And that's finally when we let God enter our story. And I mean, I don't think we were intentionally not letting him, but we didn't realize how much we were trying to drive the direction and kind of, you know, here, God, you can pick A or B instead mm-hmm. of sitting and letting, well, how about C?
What did that practically look like? Because I think that's a profound invitation you're giving us. Instead of trying to fix your discontentment or your unhappiness or your ingratitude, how do you rest in it and allow God to meet you there to then guide you? To allow God to fix you, but what did that, like, tell us on a practical level, like, how, what did it look like for you to stop fixing yourself and rest?
It was really hard and it was really messy. And so one thing that we did have to do is we had to look at our friendships and see when we bring up like this deep angst and tension in our lives, which friendships do we feel good after we had a talk with them? And which ones do we feel more beat up and more discouraged and like they gave us an insurmountable to-do list of how to fix your problem?
Mm-hmm.
And we kind of just had to let those friendships get quieter. And we held on to the friends that really just felt like they spoke truth to us and they loved us and they weren't trying to fix us. And that was really scary because we kind of ended up with like 3 friends. And it felt really small. But when we sat with it, it was really edifying because we needed to quiet the noise and just get loved on because we didn't realize kind of how beat up and discouraged we were with all the change and unknowns.
So you kind of had to drown out the voices that were laying pressure on you to fix yourself.
And kind of my like sidekick through life is being afraid of being lonely and alone and forgotten. And so that was really hard for me to do. And it was really hard for me to trust God that it was okay to let go of friendships. It was okay to let go of these voices. I would be okay and God would fill the void.
Mm-hmm.
And what's been really interesting now is that really moving to a new country was part of kind of the end of our transition, you know, like of the middle phase. Mm-hmm. And God has brought so many
friends to us. Mm. And I don't try so desperately to fill the void. I'm better at waiting and seeing what God brings my way and being more open about it instead of closed and controlling.
I think that also feels like confirmation, like mm-hmm. you're the kid who put the hexagon in the hexagon now. Like you opened a door and you're in a place where you're supposed to be. And when you're where you're supposed to be, you see the fruit. And it can come out in all kinds of ways, whether it's like emotional, mental health, whether it's friendships and relationships, whether it's opportunity to serve and minister, and you're seeing life come out of that. I mean, there's a job. You know, your husband got a job here. Like, there's confirmation in the door that you opened here. You mentioned closed doors earlier, and I kind of want to talk about that. In one way, you're inviting us to not fix ourselves and to rest and trust the Lord's leading in our lives when we feel discontent and unhappy. But it sounds like you also do believe, like, the Lord closes doors and opens doors. And part of doors opening requires us to move, to act, to turn the knob. So how is that not fixing ourselves, but yet taking action in walking towards God's guidance, God's destiny, God's sort of plan for our lives?
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't think it's like a one and done and you're great at it. Mm-hmm. At least it wasn't for me.
Mm-hmm.
But, I think for me, I didn't realize how many opportunities God was giving me that I was missing because I had a really narrow idea of what Tanya living an awesome life would look like. And I had, you know, like I wanted to check all the boxes, but I just needed to be shown that maybe it was a bit narrow and maybe broadening it, that there was a lot of other things that would also be an awesome way, like addition to my life. And so it kind of was not being so critical and like thinking it through too hard, but just say yes, like just try it, just see what happens.
Mm-hmm.
And so that would be for friendships, because we had this big void. So it would be like getting to know new people and then being okay if it wasn't a good fit, or getting to know more new people. And
mm-hmm.
Especially with moving, like going to new places and trying new experiences. Like, it's a really big deal that I learned how to mountain bike, because in this season of transition, there was so much feeling stressed and overwhelmed that I actually wasn't taking care of myself really well. And I wasn't like being kind and loving myself. And I love being outside. I love sports. Individual sports, not team sports.
Like, you don't love dodgeball?
No, you don't want me on your team. But I wasn't giving myself to like lean into what I love.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I didn't realize how God wants to connect with us, and he doesn't make it hard. And he knows what fills us with a meaningful, full life. It's right there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I love these. I mean, you're describing really practical ways you can kind of turn the knob and open a door and see what happens, whether it's in self-care or joy and hobby or friendships. But also, you guys must have opened a big door to move from one country to another one.
We did.
Yeah.
We did, but I was living with a pretty gloomy husband.
Mm-hmm.
So when you weighed the risk of how do we switch to another country versus I might live with a gloomy husband for a while, it just felt like the right thing to do.
Yeah, it pushed you over the edge to open the door that you maybe never would have opened. Which is back to that holy discontentment idea.
Yeah.
You said that you're both really stubborn. And so you moved 6 times in 6 years to try to fix your own problems because you had a hard time letting go of your own hopes and plans for your lives to grab onto God's. What did your stubbornness look like?
Oh, that's a good question.
I'm putting you on the spot, Daniel.
So, you guys, it's nothing better than your boss finding out what makes you stubborn. So here we go.
What about when your boss is stubborn?
Well, I'll do you on the next podcast.
Okay. I'm game.
I really am uncomfortable in the gray area. So I like to have plans. I like to know what's next. And then I like that it's neat and orderly and in control.
Mm-hmm.
And you've probably already seen that in the work that I do, managing projects. I like it in order. And so
stubborn Tanya does not even put her toe in the gray area. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so I have just really learned that growing is okay. When you try something new and you do something new, you're not going to be awesome at it the first time. And it was hard for me even to realize that I needed to learn that and open myself up to that. And so, really for me, it's practicing saying yes, and it's doing things that even if I feel really nervous, that's okay. I need to go into a gray area where I'm not in control of everything and be okay there. Mm-hmm. And really, when I look, God has like a 100% track record of having my back and not giving me more than I can handle. And more than that, I find that he always surprises me with more than I wanted or more than I planned. Mm-hmm. And it's just bigger and better. And it's never on my plan. Mm-hmm. I think I can say that it's never on my plan. It's a surprise. And it's awesome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's so interesting to listen to your story in more detail than I've heard it before, because you're moving every six years. Reminds me of the Israelites marching around in a desert complaining and grumbling.
Oh, that was totally us.
You say you're stubborn. So it's like you make this move and think, oh, this move's going to be the thing. Oh, yeah. No, this move's going to be the thing. Because you're trying to come up with the plan and you want your plan to be a certain plan, and you don't want to open yourself up to gray. You don't want to open yourself up to a wider view of your life. And and for you guys listening, like, what a challenge when Tanya just said, my view of my plan for my life was way narrower than God's. And I just wonder, like, that's a good question for me to ask for myself, for you to ask for yourself. Is your plan for your life more narrow than God's plan for your life? Because you basically marched around in a desert moving every year, yes, trying to solve your problems. And finally, when you open yourself up to a bigger plan, you feel like now you're like getting locked into where you're made to be, doing what you're made to be doing. And that's really a hopeful story for those of us going through the desert times right now.
Can I add on an angle to this?
Yeah, okay. Absolutely.
One of the things that Kyle and I are super thankful about this season that, I mean, honestly, it's taken a while for us to even openly talk about it or share it with, because we're in a new city, so we have to tell new people. They're like, hey, can we get to know you? And it's like, oh, well, we're on the tail end of 6 pretty bad years. Cool. I hope you want to be our friend.
Want to go over for dinner?
But we're at a place where it's like cool to share about it. But
yeah,
we really learned how to love each other, mm-hmm, being married. And we learned how we each were dealing with the stress of change and transition and confusion. We were dealing with it really differently.
Mm-hmm.
And we'd be annoying each other and like, you know, I'm not feeling loved by you right now. I'm not feeling cared by you right now. And it was so messy and hopeless feeling that we had to deal with it. Like, we couldn't ignore it. And now that we have far less stress in our life these days, we're so thankful that we intentionally like hashed it out with each other.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know if these words are making it sound like not a big deal. It was a big deal. There, mm-hmm, was like fighting and yelling and frustrating moments, very lots of them.
Mm-hmm.
But we feel like it forced us to see that side of each other, and we really wanted to come out the other side alive. Mm-hmm. And so now when we face stress, we know each other so much better, and we know how to support and love each other. And it just feels like such a win. Like, we'll say, hey, remember when we first learned that when you say this, you actually mean that? Isn't it great that we know it now?
Mm-hmm.
It's beautiful.
I love that that's your experience. And I have to poke that a little bit, because not because it's not true. I want to actually find out what's different about you guys that you were able to come out the other side. Not, you don't want me to to have you pat your own back.
Yeah.
But in a sense, I actually want to know, like, what do you think made you unhappy for 6 years, try to fix your own problems, fight and yell, and actually come out on the other side feeling like you can look back and go, we learned how to love each other better? Because I have a lot of friends who aren't coming out on the other side right now. So what do you think it was that made it possible to do that?
Well, I think a really helpful contributor to this is that we're stubborn. So we wouldn't give up. Mm-hmm. And I think one of the things that I was really stubborn about is that I had seen marriages and relationships that are like just really inspirational in how they go through life together. I'm like, we're going to get there. It seems really rough, but we are going to get there. Like, I do want to do life with you, even though a little bit of me is wondering if I really do. And so one thing that we always did is we always prayed. And do not think like pretty church prayers. These were like one-liners, maybe like one-worders. Sometimes we would be so mad and frustrated that we would be like sitting on the couch or like trying to fall asleep at night and we can't. And we would just pray, God, help us. Mm-hmm. And then we kind of pushed each other to pray out loud. Like, I am not letting you get away with leaving God. Like, this is hard, but we're not leaving God. And so we did messy prayers. Mm-hmm. And we, I don't know why we did this, but we started reading like a devotional book. And we didn't really know what it was about when we started it, which would be God nicely tricking us, I think, because we never would have picked it up if we knew. It's Eugene Peterson, Running with Horses.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And in it, he basically says, well, life is hard and God is with you and he's going to train you and get you to do this so that you can run with more in the future. And it convicted us so bad that Kyle was reading like a paragraph out loud and he hucked it at the wall. He just threw the book. Like, I am having none of this. Like, too much truth. Get it out of here. Mm. So, I mean, we worked it out. It was like messy.
Yeah.
But good.
Yeah.
So I say we just kept it messy for a long time.
Well, I think what you're kind of inviting us into is there's certain things to be stubborn for. You know, like stubborn for the right reasons. Like you've been very honest and I can see you're getting emotional.
Yeah.
But you were stubborn in not necessarily wanting to hear God's bigger plan for your life, but yet you were so stubborn to stay together. And I think that's a beautiful invitation for those of us who are married to like be stubborn to not give up. That's a beautiful invitation. I'm so glad that you guys were stubborn for that reason. And you can sit here and tell this story. And throwing books against the wall. We can all pull out a story like that. Trust me. Oh, yeah. Let's talk about, so you made this move, the sixth move.
Yes.
And it feels like you're where you're supposed to be. And it feels like you opened yourself up to God's bigger plan and there's fruit coming out. And yeah, life isn't perfect. There's still things that are hard, I'm assuming. But I would imagine even if you follow God into the place that you feel like he's calling you to and you make that change, it's still hard. So what does that look like for you to move here? And you know you're where you're supposed to be, mm-hmm. but what are the challenges that have come with being a new girl in a new town, a new country, away from community and people that you knew, left jobs for different jobs, all that stuff? What are the challenges that have come up?
I have to give like one caveat that Bellingham in the Pacific Northwest is so beautiful
It
kind of does smudge over some of the challenges.
Until it starts raining.
Are you, well, we love the rain.
Oh, you will for a year.
No, we're the parents who our kid wears that like full body wetsuit and it goes out in the rain.
A wetsuit?
Well, I don't know what you call them. Those like, it's like a raincoat, but the pants are attached to it.
Scuba gear and all?
I don't know.
Okay, gotcha.
It's very helpful. When you're stressed out, if you can choose, like, should I hike to a mountain or go to the beach? Or it's very helpful.
Yeah.
So I think
we knew we were in a really weak place, like we felt pretty worn down. Mm-hmm. And so we actually only had Kyle job hunt where we knew we'd want to live. And so the coast of mm-hmm. the Northwest is where we were like, we could be happy living here. Mm-hmm. And we just felt like we needed to do that to like have a good start, is to set up, like to set ourselves up for what do we need to like be good. Mm-hmm. And so that is what we do when we're having hard days and bad days. We do go out for hikes and we do go out to the water. And one thing that we've really noticed is that treats work really well. So I get really stressed out if I take Luke with me to meet a new mom and a new kid. It's just a gong show. He like clings on me and he cries and he won't play with the other kid. And I'm all stressed out and I'm like, my body heat is like through the roof and I can't hear what the other mom is saying. But I really want...
I'm not supposed to be laughing.
I know.
I'm so resonating with this.
But even though my kids are older. I want new friends so bad. So I'm going to do it, right? And I'm a train wreck after it. And so what we do is we're like, today's the day. You're having a play date with another mom. After it, you get to go buy yourself like a treat at the coffee shop. You can throw in a cookie. And we might even eat out for dinner because you did a hard thing. And it was just giving ourselves, like, and we do laugh about it too. And we're like, this is ridiculous. But it was giving that space to be like, sure, visiting and having a visit is a small thing, but it is a big thing at the same time. Mm-hmm. And so we just really slowed down and embraced it. And I think because of our messy figuring out how to be married, so much talking. Poor Kyle, he's an amazing listener. I have to talk through all my feelings. Mm-hmm. Like, I was in the grocery store and it took twice as long because I didn't know where the aisles were, and who knew? It's the same brand grocery store. There's two of them in the city. They have different layouts. Who does that? So I don't know how to find my groceries at the other store, and I had to talk it out.
Yeah.
And take it slow.
Well, it's so interesting to hear you talk because I haven't been the new girl in a long time. Mm-hmm. I have been the new girl before. And it's hard. And even when you're talking about playdates for your kid and you want to make a new friend yourself, and that sounds weird to say as an adult, but we all know it's true. Like, we all know that's true. We want friends. Sure. And if we're new, like, it almost is a descriptor of like how my single friends describe blind dates, mm-hmm. where they meet someone online, then they go and meet them. You're sweating, nervous, you want someone to see the good in you. I mean, that just sounds like so much pressure. But I would imagine in all this transition, there's awkward things like that. There's things like you're talking about the ordinary experience at grocery store. You don't even know where the milk is. Yeah. I would imagine there's longing for things that you had before, longing for things that feel comfortable. I don't know if you go into like pity party mode or kind of loneliness, missing home, but I would imagine a lot of that has accompanied this big move.
Yes. I think over all of those, I just get into overwhelmed mode where I just want to shut down. Mm-hmm. And I just want to go to bed early and drink tea and stop it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But I think we just realized that's okay. Like, you just sit in it and like have all the feelings, get out and do it and have 2 cups of tea, but get up again.
She said tea, not whiskey.
Yes, tea.
Let's talk about what's helped you. Like, what has helped you? What kind of things you practice or engage to keep you positive and grateful in the midst of the transition?
Oh, yeah. I started a list that I would write 5 things I was thankful for every day. And I'm like a striver, overachiever, if you didn't pick up on that yet. and so it actually was hard for me because I would say a cup of tea doesn't count. Or like, I don't know, enjoying the new tree in our new yard, that doesn't count, but it does. And just stopping to look at those things and write them down. And then after a month to look back at it, helped me see that we were putting things in, like we were growing roots. Mm-hmm. And I mentioned a little bit earlier that one of my challenges in life is to enjoy growth and growing. I just want to get to the end point. Like, there's got to be some way we can work the system and just be perfect right away. Like, can't we just do that? And so I just need to look at things and say, hey, that was one play date, and it's okay that it might take you 2 weeks to be ready to ask them to come and play again, but that's cool. And just really celebrating things, I think. That's another thing we do. We do a lot of, like, helium balloons from the dollar store to celebrate things and just enjoy small things.
I love that. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. Helium balloons for everyone.
Kind of.
There's a quote, and I don't know who said it, but the quote is, gratitude turns what we have into enough. I was thinking about that quote, and I was wondering when I thought of you and for people listening going through change, how has what you miss and what you have become enough?
Yeah. I think with all this wrestling for 6 years and, like, feeling stuck, wandering around in our wilderness, when you stop playing the wrestling game and you just sit and can enjoy your day today and know that God's going to give you another day tomorrow, it's enough and it's good. And my head fills with different thoughts than the worrying, let's fix it, runaround head. When I'm in that headspace, it's not life-giving. It's not really good for anyone to know what's going on in my head then. But when I can sit in my day and say, hey, God's at work. I'm at work. We're doing new things. We're moving forward. Like, I can name 5 things to be thankful for. I don't know how to describe it. It's almost like it's enough, but you don't even put it to words. You're filled. Like, you know, you're full. You're warm and full and energized and peaceful. And I think that I was not peaceful for so long that I learned what not to do again. So I can kind of see when those triggers are happening. I'm like, no. I want to sit where God is enough and where I'm trusting him and I'm not running the show. It might sound kind of silly, but for me, it's choosing to be a little bit more passive. I don't know if that's terrible advice.
No, I think though, to me, you're talking about an intentional presence.
Yes.
Like, instead of thinking about what do I need to do to be my most awesome self in 1 year and be where I want to arrive to, you're saying, you basically told us you wrote down 5 things you're thankful for every day, even the tree in your backyard. That's like a very intentional presence to the blessings and the gifts of what God has given you right now, instead of what you don't have that you hope to have in your future. And celebrating with balloons. I mean, it's like looking at what you do have rather than looking at what you don't have, which I think is so huge. You know that we talk a lot around here about Jesus colliding, and that's this idea that God runs into our lives and he shows up on our scene. And I'm just kind of curious how you've seen Jesus collide with you and all these changes and be more than enough.
Yeah. I think it's been such a sweet surprise to us that it sounds so silly when I say it, but I have to tell you that we, like, believe it. Like, it was a surprise to us. Like, oh, God didn't give up on us. He's still here. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, wow. Like, this has been quite a journey and he's still here. Wow. It just feels like I'm not forgotten, or I wasn't too hard of a case for God to crack. Just feels like really, I feel really precious to God that he's leaned into us that much. And then with all of these changes in our life, financially, we always had enough. And I know it's so, like, tangible and practical, but God met our financial needs in quirky ways over and over again, because our rent would change, or, you know, you pay double rent because you're kind of living in 2 places for 1 month, or surprised we had a baby and we had to figure out how to pay for him in a loving way, like take care of all of his things. I think because what we were wrestling with was so much in our heads, that when God physically provided what we needed, it spoke really loudly to us.
Mm-hmm.
And then I have just been blown away that now I think finally my eyes know how to see when God is giving me opportunities And I just am like, wow, Jesus loves living with me. Like, he loves moving through me. And we're like a team. Like, we do this together. And so I feel like, I don't know, I don't know if this answers your question the right way, but I just feel like the way, one of the ways that Jesus is enough to me is that he's in me and he's filling me up, and then he like splashes out. Mm. So I can spy someone who's in a similar situation like that. And I just feel like, wow, I know how God loved on me when I was in this gray transition, murky land. And I am going to love on you because I just like, I have some really great ideas of where you're at and how to meet you. And it just, I don't know, it just fills me up knowing like, this is cool. God is with me and he's overflowing onto you. And wow.
Mm, that's awesome. When you think about women sojourners going through change and transition, what's your best advice for them to stay grateful rather than get fearful or disappointed or overwhelmed? And on that, I guess I would also add, what's your best advice for them to stay close and near to our God who never changes and who doesn't forget us?
Yeah. It sounds so like cliche, but pray every day. And pray even messy yelling prayers and one word prayers, they all count as praying. They don't have to be fancy.
Mm-hmm.
And just, I think another thing that I would hope you would take away from this is you don't have to fix it. Mm-hmm. And you don't put a timeline on when it will get better. But know that God is with you every day and he is walking you to the other side. Someone shared with me about Psalm 23 where it says, I'll walk through the valley of the shadow of death. I never noticed before that it's through. Like you walk through it. You go from one side to the other side. There's an end. That is just a valley, and there's sunshine and meadows and wonderfulness on both sides.
Mm.
And so to have that perspective that it's a season.
Mm.
You're not like, it's not going to be the rest of your life, but also be patient and persevering because you're not in control of when it ends. Mm. And I feel like for my story, God surprised us with that. Like when, and it kind of was the timing of when we were finally trusting and feeling at peace with the wilderness, that then the wilderness was done.
Mm.
I don't know. God does that a lot in my life.
Mm-hmm.
Just when I'm comfortable and think I wrap my mind around a season I'm in, time to move on.
Yeah. Well, I love that you hung out with me and shared your story and were really pretty honest about the messy parts and beautiful parts and gave us some gems of wisdom. I love the idea that for all of us, there's meadows and sunshine on the other side of a valley of transition, and we can be grateful that God walks through it with us and that he has a bigger dream for our lives than the narrow one we have. So good. So I'm super glad that you hung out with me. For those of you guys listening, a couple of things. If you want to talk to Tanya more, you can always email us at info@wecollide.net and we'll get you in touch with her. And I also wanted to just let you know that we just came out with an amazing, beautiful 20-day walk to gratitude download that you can grab on our website, wecollide.net. And it is going to be an amazing adventure where you get to intentionally walk towards having a heart that is grateful, and you'll tackle enemies of gratitude and get some homework and exercises and reflection and prayers that I think will be pretty life transforming. So check that out. And thanks for hanging out on the podcast. We'll catch you next week. Keep colliding.
Thanks for tuning in. To keep up with us, you can find us on Instagram at we.collide, on Facebook as at @WeCollideWomen, and you can also visit our website at wecollide.net to find our blog, resources, event information, and more. One last thing. If you enjoyed this episode, would you take a few seconds and leave us a review? It seems like such a small act, but reviews help us to keep producing this content and help other women find it too. Thanks so much for tuning in to today's episode and letting us walk with you as you seek and collide with Jesus.